talking more NFL in hour number one. We are joined right now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Very good friend of the program. My guest is Jim Trotter. Jim, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, what's going on, man?
What's up? How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing tremendous. Thank you.
Good. Listen, you had made the point that going into yesterday's Philadelphia-New Orleans game, that Saints D coordinator Dennis Allen was concerned about how Nick Foles spreads the ball around, and then the guy goes 5 for 5 to 5 different targets in the first TD drive. What did you make of how the Saints defense responded?
There was a lot of anxiety in the building after those first two drives where the Saints where the Eagles got up 14-0 and appeared to be driving again before Lattimore's interception. But, you know, it's interesting, Jim, when I talked to Dennis Allen after the game and I said, what changed? And he said, really nothing. He said, we just had to settle in. And he said it wasn't a sense of panic. He said, one, because, you know we have an offense that can score. But he said, two, once guys got a feel for the game, and he said the interception, no question, was huge, that folks just settled in. The other interesting thing that he said to me he felt was that he said, people always say that the bye doesn't make a big deal. He said, but I think it did. He said, because it felt like we wore them down as the game went on. And going into it, one of the things he felt for them to win, that they had to dominate at the line of scrimmage. And as the game went on, you saw they got more and more pressure from the front. So all of the things that he identified, you know, sort of came to fruition in that game after the first quarter.
Yeah, Jim, I'm not sure how anybody could ever argue that the bye does not make a difference. Look at this past weekend. It made a huge difference to everybody. Jim Trotter is my guest. Then on the other side of the ball, Jim, you have this great piece on Michael Thomas in the build-up to the game, and I'll get to the piece in a minute. But before we do, what do you make of his performance, which included 12 receptions for a franchise record, 171 yards, and the go-ahead TD?
You know, what's interesting is that after the game, I asked him, I said, was there any point during the week where you foresaw this type of performance? And he said, no. He goes, actually, I was getting antsy. And I said, what do you mean you were getting antsy? And he said, the first time we played them, I only got 4 targets, which was a season low for him, even though he had 92 yards and a TD. And so he was trying to figure out, how are they going to play me this time? Are they going to do like they did the first time and double me around the field? He goes, they can't triple team me. He goes, or are they going to believe that their secondary now is playing well enough that they can single me? So he said there was, you know, a little bit of anxiety going in, and after the slow start, you know, it starts to build a little. But he said once he made the first big catch, he said then, like the others, he settled in and he just started making his plays. So while, you know, he consistently tells us how good he is, and we know how good he is, even he was somewhat surprised that he had that kind of day, simply from the standpoint that he was uncertain how they would try and defend him. And clearly they never adjusted as the game went on. They kept allowing him to run those deep digs and ends. And the thing that was fascinating to me about him, Jim, in that game is on the critical drive where they took the lead, you know, with the go-ahead score on his 2-yard touchdown. You know, they had a 2nd and 9, and he gets 11 yards. They had a 2nd and 20, and he picks up 20 yards. They had a 3rd and 16. He picks up 20 yards. So all those big plays, you know, drive-extending plays, momentum-shifting plays, those sorts of things, he was able to come up with, and it was like the Eagles never adjusted to it.
That's hard to believe, right? Jim Schwartz and that defense, Jim Trotter joining us. That's hard to imagine, but everything about this guy to me is kind of hard to imagine when you look at his background, which you lay out in a piece. The piece includes a detail, Jim, that sometimes Sean Payton will line up a cornerback to hit his receivers with some press coverage. How did that go for Payton when he tried that on Thomas?
Not too well. Sean told me that, you know, he felt like he had dislocated his finger, and he said he actually had to go to the training room because of chest pain he was having. And he said, look, I've done that with Joe Horn. I did it with Marcus Colston. I did it with other receivers, he said, but I will never do it again with Michael Thomas, he said, because I don't want any broken bones. So he said, you know, in Michael's eyes, you know, Sean was just another faceless person who was standing in his way, and that's kind of how he plays. He said he's only had 2 players who have ever gone full speed in walkthroughs. And he said one was Darren Sproles and the other one is Michael Thomas. And he said every day that's the way he practices, full speed, all go, attention to detail, those sorts of things.
I'm not sure that everybody understands this or knows this fact, Jim, but how do you explain that this guy did not start in high school until he was a senior and he's doing what he's doing in the first 3 years of his NFL career?
You know what's really fascinating? I mean, you go back to even Pee Wee. He played 3 years of Pee Wee, and he was never a starter there, and his dad told me that it was because he was sort of undersized. He said he had great hands, but he was undersized, and he said he felt the coaches were afraid that he might get hurt. And he said, Michael was one of those must-play guys. And I said, what's a must-play guy? And he says, one of those must-play guys, you must play at least a quarter because they paid their money to be on the team. And then he says he gets to, a freshman in high school, and he plays a little bit, but he doesn't start. And his dad ends up pulling him out of there because he started acting up a little bit, or as his dad said, he got a little full of himself with some things that were going on, and homeschooled him for a year. And then when he went to Taft, they were a running team, and he still had not developed as a receiver, or his body had not filled out yet. And so he didn't play much his junior year, only on Hail Mary situation, so to speak. And they came up with a plan after his junior year where they said, look, how can we get to where we want to go? And it became bigger, faster, stronger. And his dad built a weight room in the house. And Michael was in there religiously working out and those sorts of things. And then that summer after his junior year, he got with his uncle, Keyshawn Johnson, and started going to 7-on-7 leagues and those sorts of things to develop. And really it took off. And I'll leave you on this. The fascinating thing about his story in high school is that he had never been a starter. He goes into his senior year and he tells his quarterback, I want 2,000 yards receiving and 30 touchdowns. And I remember saying to him, how do you come up with those numbers and you've never even started? And that's just his mentality. And he finished with over 1,600 yards and 21 touchdowns, so he wasn't that far off.
Jim Trotter joining us, a reporter and storyteller for NFL Media. Those are amazing stories. Jim, let me ask you about Drew Brees. You have covered him for a long, long time, and you and I have talked about the stories from his confidence back when he was with San Diego and things were not looking so good. Knowing his backstory the way you do, what do you think when you watch him play right now?
Man, nothing with him surprises me. And if there's, I've always said, and it took time for me to get to this point, but if there's one quarterback I never would bet against, it would be Drew Brees. I think I've said to you before, he's so singularly focused and so wired, unlike anyone I've ever known. And there's just no give to him, no quit to him. And he is going to explore every avenue to maximize the abilities that he has. And so for me to see where he is now, obviously I'm not surprised. But I think I've told you this story that here's all you need to know about him. When they, in 2004, when they made the draft day trade to get Phillip Rivers, and everybody felt that Phillip was going to be the guy. And I had to go talk to Drew after that draft. And I said, I got to ask you about it, Phillip being here now. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, this is my team. We're going to the playoffs, and I'm going to the Pro Bowl. And they hadn't been to the playoffs, I think, in 8 years. And I'll be damned that year if it wasn't his team, they went to the playoffs, and he went to the Pro Bowl. He's just wired that way, Jim.
Jim Trotter, my guest. Jim, I got about 60 seconds. I know you could use more time than that, but speaking of the Chargers, what do you make of the way the Patriots dismantled them?
Truthfully, Jim, I feel like I fell for the okey-doke again. Every time I start to think that the Chargers have changed and it's not the same old team, this happens. And the bottom line is in that game they got out-coached. There's no way around that. They did not adjust to things. They kept getting beaten on the play-action pass. And then they got gashed up front. So, they talked the talk about, any place, any squad. And then when the opportunity presented itself, they didn't show up. So, but the other thing it reminds me of, again, falling for the okey-doke, is I fell for the Patriot okey-doke thinking that this was the year they were going to drop off, and they didn't. So Tom Brady and Bill Belichick do it to us again.
You and me both, my friend. You and me both. He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. You should read his book, Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Consider him a very good friend of the program. Jim, great to have you back. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Romy.
You got it. Jim Trotter, you're so good. One of the best.